broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I asked them if I could go to the bathroom. I didn't have to go. I was
pleased on a number of counts. First,
how you feeling? Why are your hands on your head?
My view has always been that we have to do what's in the best interest of the armed forces.
Aren't I brilliant?
You blew it!
Famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And where through the looking glass we'll go and go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Tonight we're going to talk about, as we are well into the school year, we'll talk about crossing guards. We had an incident here in Los Angeles that was just unacceptable. A crossing guard beaten by, I can only assume, some alcoholic on his way to wherever he was going, maybe for another drink. But this woman who is there trying to ensure the safety of the little ones getting across the street tells this guy to stop or to slow up. And he says, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to slow up. He gets out of the car. And they say she was beaten. She was assaulted, but she was okay. She said later the lady who was assaulted, this poor woman, said, I was more concerned with the kids having to see this. Can you imagine that? So we're going to talk with Bobby Dooley, who's the president of the Western States Homeowners Association and the Western States Parent Teacher Organization, about that very thing here in just a moment. Later on, Don Berman joins us for WikiLeaks talk and what that means in the world of news gathering. We want to take a look at our affiliate spotlight tonight, and it is on WSAR 1480 AM in Providence, Rhode Island, and KROD 600 AM in El Paso, Texas. Two great stations that get it on the Phil Hendry Show Radio Network. And our website, philhenryshow.com. So the story here, police, California crossing guard beaten in front of kids. And sounds to me like there's somebody's car alarm going off there. California crossing guard beaten in front of children. She was beaten and robbed of her stop sign and her whistle, which sounds benign and almost humorous. But this guy, apparently 27-year-old Jose Hernandez, he just didn't like the idea that this woman was telling him to slow up because there were children in the crosswalk. He yelled that he was not stopping. He was shouting, according to one of the people who witnessed this, when the guard tried to walk away, Martinez punched her and knocked her to the ground. The driver then got out of the SUV and grabbed the guard's ID tag from around her neck, as well as her whistle and her stop sign, according to the statement. You either got to be a drunk or on drugs or a serious borderline psychotic to do something like that. Several adults took down the license plate of the SUV, and deputies later arrested this slob. Not only him, but the passenger. And they were being held in lieu of a $50,000 bond with an arraignment set for Wednesday. Terrible story. And Bobby Dooley joining us from the Parent Teacher Association at Western Estates. I guess, Bobby, how are you this evening?
We're doing good, Phil. Thank you.
And I guess the question is, the crossing guards, it doesn't seem like a tough job. And yet, it is a job where you have to exert some kind of control and authority with not just children, but with motorists.
Well, that is true. And we have in front of Western States, which is our homeowners association, we are a gated community in the San Fernando Valley outside of Los Angeles. And we do have in front of the gate to our community one crosswalk that crosses Lionel, which is a side street that leads down to Ventura Boulevard. On it, we do have quite a bit of foot traffic in the morning, which is comprised mostly of children who are going across the street to catch the bus.
Now, are these kids from your community?
These are children from the community just down from us, which is not a gated community. It is just a subdivision of single-story homes that are a little bit older than ours. And these are the children that are primarily going to the public school. But there's quite a few of them, and they do have a crossing guard there. The lady that I became familiar with, Juanita Henry, is there now, I believe, although we did have some issues with her. But before I say that, I certainly want to reach out to every crossing guard all over this country, as I know that your program is carried nationally, Phil, and tell them that we so appreciate them.
We do.
And
I mean, they're a lot of them are retired people.
Yes, they are, or they're mothers who have some time, or fathers who have some available time. And we do appreciate them keeping the children safe. What we would ask them is that when they are near our neighborhood, that they have to recognize that there are a lot of cars coming out of our community at a more of an elevated rate of speed. You're going to see a lot of very, I guess, dark-colored Mercedes and Lexus. Those seem to be the cars that a lot of the men who live here drive because they're involved in asset management, investment banking, and you know the economy we've had, Phil. So there are a lot of early morning, you know, meetings and a lot of emergencies.
All right. Well, so this lady, do the kids that live in your neighborhood in Western Estates, are they going to the public school?
Some of them do, but most of the kids here are driven. It's just a choice that the mothers here make. The mothers whose children are taking the bus obviously have made the choice that their children will take the bus. But again, those are the women that live down the street in the non-gated community.
So would you say that there is a distinct income difference?
Oh, absolutely, Phil.
Between the two. So where you live, the kids are getting driven because the moms, maybe they don't have to work?
I would say that's a fair statement, but I also want to emphasize that we do have working mothers here, and it is a choice that we make whether we want to drive our children to school or to allow them to, you know, walk down these busy highways. But
is that you making the comment that that's what these women are doing?
Well, here is my concern.
And by, not to interrupt you, we're talking with Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association and parent-teacher organization on the crossing guard situation. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. My question, though, is you have children that are going across a crosswalk that has a crossing guard there. You still don't feel it's safe?
We don't think it's safe because of where the crosswalk is.
And that is that it's right in front of your community?
It's right in front of the gates to our community, yes. And it's very dangerous. This woman, Juanita, who is the crossing guard, we have told her that certainly we're happy to, you know, to tolerate what it is that she wants to do.
When we use the word tolerate?
Well, we're happy to have her there so long as she can get those children off that crosswalk. And I mean, Phil, she has to get them off fast. Because when that gate opens from our community, you've got a lot of dark-colored, tinted-windowed Mercedes, Lexus, some of them are Jaguars, that are coming out of there very quickly, very rapidly. They come down out of the community and will swing left onto Lionel. And they are doing it probably as they approach what is the speed limit on that street. 40 miles an hour, and then they're heading down to Ventura and then onto the freeway. So you've got one, two, three very rapidly moving Mercedes or Lexus sedans.
Right.
And so you've got to get those kids off the crosswalk, and I have told her, what do you propose to do? How? And we've been having meetings with her, and she's not very clear. How does she propose to get these kids off the crosswalks?
But the idea, Ms. Dooley, is it not? The idea, is it not, that the crosswalk guard, the crossing guard for the children, is to put her stop sign up and stop that traffic?
Yeah, that is generally the idea, yeah, but that is out of the question. We've talked about that. It's not going to be possible, given the state of the economy, the fact that we do have so many financial managers that live here, the fact that what I said to her, just be mindful that when you see that first black sedan coming out of Western Estates, you're going to see three, four, five dark sedans with tinted windows leaving the community. You've got to get the children off that crosswalk. It is imperative.
And well, yeah, but what you're saying is if she doesn't get them off the crosswalk, and if I'm not hearing you properly, if she doesn't get them off the crosswalk, they're going to get hit by one of these sedans.
Well, naturally, though. That's why we're asking. We don't have time right now to get with every one of our parents and certainly every one of the professional men that are living and working in Western states to tell them we need you to stop or slow down. These are men in the middle of a down economy that are getting their office to try to keep the bleeding from getting any worse in our economy. So again, I think she has to be mindful.
What you're telling me is they don't have time to stop for these kids.
It isn't even the time. It's not even time, Phil. It's the momentum that you have when you're in a dark sedan. The windows are tinted. You have begun to accelerate up to the speed limit of 40 and turn left. So you've got really two or three actions. The gate opens, you accelerate, you're swinging out. The gate opens, you accelerate, you're swinging out. One, two, three, four dark sedans in a row with tinted windows. And then, if it's one of those days where, for whatever reason, I have a meeting or one of the mothers, then you're going to see the dark SUV with tinted windows, or you'll see the lighter colored SUV. You're going to have two or three or four cars in a row.
Well, what? Okay, so you're saying to me, you've had a meeting with this this crossing guard, this Juanita Henry is her name.
Yes.
And you've said to her that when you see these dark sedans with the tinted windows coming out of the Western Estates homeowners, the Western Estates community.
Yes, that she has to get the children off the crosswalk if they're not on the crosswalk.
And well, all right. So why is she there?
She has obviously felt she's there to keep other traffic from going across that crosswalk when the children are there. We're only talking about traffic coming out of Western States.
All right, so traffic on this street, Lionel, she's slowing down.
That is correct. Traffic coming out of Western States, she has to be mindful of.
So, in other words, your traffic isn't going to stop for her stop sign. Your traffic isn't going to slow down for her. Your traffic is going to go right on through that stop, that crosswalk, whether there's children on it or not.
You know, I'll tell you this. I resent a little bit the way you put that, and I'll tell you why.
Well, isn't that true?
I resent the way you put that. Let me tell you why. We have children just like anyone else. We are given full warning, Phil. And my husband, Steve, is here. Steve, you talked.
That's right. I talked to Juanita the other day. I said, slow down. And
we've talked to the homeowners here, and we said, would you please be careful with your speed as you leave the community? And we'll talk to Juanita. So we're trying to have a meeting in the mines.
Well, you say you resent the way I put it. These cars, as you said, are heavy, dark sedans that are coming out of this gated community, and they're accelerating up to 40 miles an hour, and they're going across this crosswalk, and it's up to this woman to make sure those kids are off that crosswalk.
We are asking her to work with us, yes. And you're making this a little bit about us, so I wish you would also make it about the children that are being sent to the bus who could be driven to school, but their mothers have made the choice. No, I think my child will walk down a very heavily traveled boulevard.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Crosswalks and the crossing guards, and how much power do they have? But Western Estates in the valley in Los Angeles, they have at least one crossing guard that is told that you've got to get those kids off that crosswalk if a certain community, when the cars are leaving that community, these are all investment bankers. These are all men who are in dark sedans with tinted windows. They're going to be leaving rapidly, making a 40-mile-an-hour turn out onto a boulevard, get the kids off the crosswalk. And here in L.A., we had a crossing guard that was assaulted. The kids come first, don't they? Or in this situation, if the father, who's an investment banker, comes first, how much time do those kids have to get off that crosswalk before they're run over by one of these sedans? 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next hour, our special guest will be Don Berman from Channel 19 News as we talk about WikiLeaks. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Dark sedan, very dark sedan.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
that is very unfair.
All right, I will let you explain that. Welcome back to our program, 877-876-PHIL. We have Bobby and Steve Dooley on the line from Western Estates Parent Teacher Organization on crossing guards. In the city of Los Angeles, we had a crossing guard assaulted by some alcoholic, drug addicted. I don't know what this guy's problem was, but the poor woman was trying to hold up traffic. And I know that crossing guards have a very difficult time. What you're saying to me, Ms. Dooley, is that your crossing guard in front of your community needs to get the kids off the crosswalk because the investment bankers that live there are coming out of there really fast. Now, and I will let you explain, but you said that there was an incident involving this woman, Juanita Henry, and a child having to literally dive off of the crosswalk when you came through?
That is a very, very bigoted or biased way of putting that, Phil.
Yeah, that's not what happened.
I want you to explain it.
All right, let me explain, because you started by saying what happened to Juanita and this little girl. I was coming out of our community one morning. We were having a meeting later on. We were very hopeful, a meeting with the Patron representative, to have a complimentary tequila at our Winter Tacular. I was going to the nearby Gelson's to get some appetizers for this meeting. This was a very, very important meeting because our Winter Tacular is coming up in 2 weeks. When I came out of the community and Juanita was in the middle of the crosswalk, I had told her already, you've got to get the kids off the crosswalk. And there she was. She says I aimed for her. I did not aim for her. I was trying to get over to the right side of the road. And the next thing I saw in this very dramatic flare, which was completely unnecessary, she dives for a ditch or some depressed area off the road with this child under her arm. I thought it was absolute theatrics.
Well, the woman, she says that she was afraid you were going to hit her, that you aimed for her.
That is absolutely not true. I was on my way. I was in a hurry, and I was on my way to the Gelson's. We had a representative of Patron Tequila who was coming to this meeting to possibly discuss a complimentary tequila at our Winter Tacular. Champagne is no longer the drink. Tequila is. And we were very excited about this man coming. When I came out of the community, Juanita stood there. She stutter stepped to the right and then to the left. And I thought she was playing a game with me. So if it sounded like I was playing along.
Well, what do you mean she stutter stepped to the right, to the left? She said you aimed for her.
She was going left, right, left, right. So I thought, well, all right, I'll play. And I aimed at her, but I took my foot off the accelerator. I think it's very unfair.
Mr. Turner, I want to say something. It's very unfair to my wife. The homeowners don't get
to say that. All right, let's get to our phone calls here. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley on this crossing guard situation. Anne in New York City listening on WWRL. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Anne, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, and yes. I'm listening. And I'm sorry,
yes,
Bobby, you are very selfish. You're only for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You were aiming for the crossing guard. Isn't there a law that if the crossing guard is there to stop the traffic for the pupils to cross? And you said, I aimed for her.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think you are?
She was playing a game with me.
Excuse
me. She was going left, right, left, right.
Excuse me. You've been talking for the last 600 months, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to listen a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let me talk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There are laws, there are crossing guards for the cars to stop. And tinted windows are only in the back. If the driver is there is no tinted window on the driver's side. So you can see, and you're supposed
you're
to stop.
That.
The crossing guard is there for you to
that.
Stop. Thank you, listen, without saying
I'm listening to you. I beg your pardon. I am listening to you.
I'm listening to you.
You know, you have that very Germanic control, don't you?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, let's... No, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on for a minute. Let's not go there.
Well, Well, she's all Yavol, you know.
Bobby.
Okay, all right, hold on. Let's let Bobby respond to what you said, because they're very, very good points, Ann, and I just want to hear. Bobby, well, you know what? Let's take a break, because we're coming up against our break. So, Ann, you stick around. Bobby, you do the same thing. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I want to say something to that German.
Hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, boy.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show right now. We have Bobby Dooley and her husband Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association on the line, and we also have a caller who's been hanging on Ann in New York City, and we're going to get back to Ann right now. And we were discussing, and Ann, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
Yeah, and I just want to say we were discussing, Bobby, this crossing guard that is in front of your community that you say must get the children off the crosswalk as these sedans with tinted windows come out of your community, because these are all investment bankers. You said that you almost ran this woman over.
Well, I said that we had a representative from Patron. I don't think you're listening to what I'm saying.
No, you had a representative from Patron Tequila. Now, but this thing, the woman said you aimed for her.
When she went left and then she went right, as if it was a defensive back drill in professional football, I said, okay, I'll play. And I aimed left, and that's the direction she went. I didn't know she was going to go left.
Okay, Ann, go ahead.
Dear sweet Bobby, mm-hmm. you said you were in a hurry, so when Bobby
yes.
comes, everybody has to get out of their way because Bobby is in a hurry.
No, I said when the dark sedans with tinted windows.
Listen to me. The tinted windows. Would you listen? Would you please listen?
You're not listening. In California, you can tint the driver's side window. It's perfectly legal. I don't know in New York.
There are no tinted windows where the driver is.
In the state of California, yes, there is.
Maybe in your not in California.
No. I beg your pardon. I believe the host said you were calling from. The host said you were calling from Alabama. Is that right?
No, New York City.
Well, it's the same. Well,
and
the
listen,
same difference.
Listen,
it's not California.
Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby. I am an American by choice. You just happen to be born in America. So
all right.
I am a bit
you still don't know anything about the California driver's manual.
Well, I don't know that tinted windows are legal in the state of California on the driver's side, but the fact is you're saying that that's the way it is in your community?
Mr. Hendry, we have investment bankers coming out at 40 miles an hour, and you know something? What is her name, Ann? Ann, if you were on the crosswalk when I came wheeling out of there, well, I don't...
You're supposed to be in control of your vehicle. You're not turning out.
A woman in a really black dress.
Bobby, you are not turning out at 40 miles an hour. When you're turning, you're supposed to go slow. Even on the side street, we have 25 mile speed limit.
I find it interesting that a woman that was churning butter not too long ago was telling me about the California driver manual.
All right, knock it off with the churning butter.
This woman sounds like she learned to drive with 20 mule team.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Ann.
Nothing.
What did you just say?
I don't want to repeat it. I would rather not.
What did you just say?
I'd rather not say.
She said you sounded like you learned how to drive, Ann, using a 20-mule team. All right.
You know something?
How dare you laugh at that when you know that your driving has probably killed more people
Bobby, I gave up driving a long time ago, okay? Anyway.
Thank God.
All right. We got to take a break. Go to another call. Thank you very much, Ann, for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Why did you not cut her off?
Excuse me?
Bobby.
Well, you know something, Bobby, with the and
no, you allowed that woman to mock me. Here's a woman with a butter churner in one hand, a pitchfork in the other, and a bonnet.
Tell her how to drive bar in the window.
How does she know which windows are allowed to be tinted in California?
Well, how do you know?
I don't, but I live here, and she doesn't.
All right. I don't even know when I live here. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Marie in Torrance, California, listening on KNEW in San Francisco. Marie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I'm sorry, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
In the school, when kids are crossing the street, matter of fact, it's for anybody. The cars are supposed to slow down. And I believe, isn't it 25 that you're supposed to drive? It's 25.
I'm not aware, and I understand.
You're not aware.
Do
you drive?
It's a very, well, this is a unique community. And that's what I was trying to say to Mr. Henry. While it is true that we want to slow down for the children, we've got investment bankers in dark sedans that are coming out of the community. Yes.
But, Bobby, she's a school crossing guard. I used to be a school crossing guard.
Can I ask the caller to talk a little more directly into the phone? Hey, Marie, could you talk a little more directly into your phone because it's a little muffled there.
Bobby,
yeah, this is the way she sounds to me.
The woman
started, when I came out of the community, she was standing there with the kid. She stutter-stepped left, stutter-stepped right. I remember thinking, okay, I'll play, and I aimed right, and that's where she went.
Well, what do you mean, okay, I'll play?
Because it looked like she was just doing a little
across the street. I drive here in Los Angeles, over in the South Bay area, and I see a lot of cars speeding past these kids, and sometimes there's no crossing guard. And these kids have to defend for themselves to cross a busy street. And you
that's
know,
true.
Here in L.A., a lot of kids get hit going to school.
I know that. But in our community, we're very mindful of the safety of children, unless, again, and I go back to what I was saying, a series of dark sedans with tinted windows are...
Well, so this dark sedans with tinted windows...
Have you ever
carried
the lady...
Honestly,
can
I ask you
something?
...windows
that dark that you can't see people walking across
this
the street.
See.
That's
well, it's one-way tinting. It's one-way tinting. They can see. But I wanted to ask you something. Have you ever seen a presidential motorcade, all those dark cars with tinted windows?
Yes, that's
exactly what our community looks like in the morning when the men go to work. So we need the kids to clear off the crosswalk.
Well, obviously,
and
the men, they got their windows tinted too dark.
I don't think so.
Now, either they're doing something
illegal
that they have to have their windows tinted that dark because you're not supposed to have your windows tinted that dark. The police want to see what's going on inside your car.
No, they're on their laptops, and they don't want anyone getting nosy.
Well, they're supposed to be on laptops driving.
Many of them have autopilot. They have autopilot.
Well, I don't know of any autopilot that you can put on autopilot on a surface street.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The other thing that you have to understand is, again, all those dark tinted windows.
Yeah, I know. Coming out of the community one at a time, it looks like a presidential motorcade. When you aimed for that woman,
I was joking around. Can't she take a joke?
Joking around, she had a little kid with her on the crosswalk. She said she didn't know which way to go. She saw your car coming out of there 40 miles an hour. She went right. She thought she'd go left, and you aimed for her, and she had to dive into a ditch.
I didn't know she was going to go in that direction.
Well, don't you think she's going to go for the what's the shortest route to the side of the road?
She looked to me like she wanted to go right, like she wanted to fake me out. And I don't know if, Marie, if you do that. Have you ever done that before?
Does she work for the city of L.A. at the crossing guard? Does she work for the city?
No, I did. Oh, the lady, the crossing guard that I almost hit, she works for the city, yeah. And
okay,
I said to her, you're going to lose... you're going to lose your job if you keep, you know, you stutter step that way. You got to know which way you're going.
Oh, come on, man. That you can't play when a woman's got a little girl standing there and she's got to dive into a ditch. Thank you very much for your call, Maria. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Here is Brandy listening on WAVH in Mobile tonight. Brandy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that it seems like Bobby is taking the meeting with the throne as more important than the safety of the children. And I think that that's
No, that's not true. It was a meeting that we had set up and we were looking forward to. So I wanted to get these appetizers. When I came out of the community and I saw Juanita there with that child, I remember thinking, today of all day, she's fooling around. I told her to get the kids off the crosswalk. Get them off the crosswalk or there is going to be a tragedy that she and I and that child will regret for the rest of our lives. Why can't I just slow down? Because I have a meeting that is going to mean a lot of money to our community. You see, if you, I don't know if she gets it or not.
Well, why can't you just slow down?
I'm meeting with Patron Tequila. When's the last time they were going to sponsor a Wintertacular? Never. I have a child in the crosswalk. Get the kid off the crosswalk. And we're all happy. The kid's on the crosswalk, and my car is wearing that kid. There is all kinds of sadness. I'm late. Patron goes away. I don't know if you've ever been in business, but it's like this.
All right. I think we got it. Thank you for your call, ma'am. 877-876-PHIL. As we talk with Bobby, you're not answering the question. I think it's a very, very important question. Why is it that you can't slow down?
Well, I just got done telling you.
No, you're telling me that the meeting with Patron is very important because of your Wintertacular. There's a little baby, out, and I say baby because I say that about kids, but out there on that crosswalk with that woman.
Well, I think that's one of your problems, Mr. Henry. I think you turn even just an average 10-year-old child into an infant, so you think that they're all infants and that they have the brains of infants and that they cannot get off a crosswalk when they see me coming. Which is what, Steve, you said that, right?
Yeah, get off the crosswalk when you see Bobby coming.
Get off the crosswalk when you see Bobby coming, because we love our children. We love our children, and we want them to survive. But they have got to get moving when they see me.
877-876-PHIL. Here is Andy in Indianapolis. Go ahead, Andy. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, we love our children so much, I'm not going to bother slowing down. Look. Phil, I'm a father of four,
no,
a grandfather
I happen
of ten,
to believe
and
that
the
we will slow
fact
down
of the
if,
matter
if we
is,
have time.
I don't care whether you're in a sedan, a tricycle, a bus, or an 18-wheeler. Those kids are in the road. You know there is a crosswalk there. Your car, your vehicle is not going to go anywhere that you, as a driver, do not take it. This lady, the men, whoever's out there that's doing this, needs to put their OxyContin down, needs to plan ahead. If they're such big business people, then they ought to be able to plan ahead and leave earlier and know that this is going on.
It doesn't work like
that. And put these children first.
I put my children first. I put my children first. I drive them to school. I drive them to school.
Yeah,
do
you put your children first. That's why you won't
do you
slow
drive
down
your children?
For any others.
Do you have children?
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have children? No, you don't.
Do I have children? Yeah, I've got four.
Yeah. Stepchildren or your own?
Yeah, four.
Do they live with you?
Ten
do they live with you?
Thank you.
Do they live with you?
No, they're grown, darling. What part of
all
ten
well,
grandchildren
what
do
you don't really know? That you don't know about it. You don't have any familiar.
He says he's got grandchildren.
Yes, dear, I do
well,
know about it.
I don't know it. So with grandchildren, you don't know anything about it because things have changed. And the
nothing
way things
changed.
Have changed is that these sedans come out at a very high rate of speed. If you've
okay.
ever seen a presidential motorcade, you know what I'm talking about. Would you would you throw a child out in front of a presidential motorcade? No.
No.
Well, who would throw a child out? Who would throw a child out in the?
No, this man would throw a child in front of a presidential limousine.
I didn't hear either one of what you guys were saying.
You know, you are not. Don't call me darling. I'll find you and I'll geld you in front of your wife. You understand? Don't call me darling, or I'm going to start to refer to you as bitch.
All right.
Whoa. We won't call anybody darling, okay?
No one calls me darling, okay? This isn't 1940, Grandpa.
It is in control of
you got
your
a Grandpa.
Car. It's that
yeah,
simple.
Right.
And you
I'm
have no respect
it.
For the children,
well,
whether it's yours or your neighbor's. If you
I
cannot slow down
children, but I
and
don't have
give
any
them
yours.
The right of way,
however, yours
you
are all
know
grown up.
That crosswalk
but your
is there.
If your grandkids are being driven to school by you, they don't have a long life expectancy either.
All right. Thank you very much. Both of you are out of line there. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
How was I out of line?
The whole bitch and geld you and everything else. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here on the Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley as they talk about crosswalks and crossing and all of that jazz. You know, who's supposed to slow down for who these days? We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. We got Don Berman from Channel 19 News coming up on WikiLeaks. Bobby Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association here talking about crossing guards. And we had a crossing guard in the city of Los Angeles this morning that was assaulted. Fortunately, she was not seriously hurt, but she said later that it was a terrible thing for the children to see some alcoholic bum getting out of an SUV and attacking this woman, taking her whistle and her stop sign. He was arrested along with his passenger. Bobby, people are asking questions here concerning the safety of children, and you keep talking about the business people having to get to work, you having to get to the store to get appetizers for the meeting with Patron. The question stands, who's more important? You know.
Well, I think asking a woman who's had three boys, who has given birth to three beautiful children, who's more important, I think that is the height of humor. I know what is most important in my life. It's my children. But when I'm coming out of a community that I am the president of the Homeowners Association of, and I'm on my way to Gelson's to get some appetizers, and I've told the crossing guard, when she sees my Escalade coming out of the community, whatever is on that crosswalk, a child, an elderly person, get it out of there. Get it out of there. Now, I aimed for her as a way of kidding around. She turns around and tells the police I was trying to hit her. So, you know, we're going to have a talk.
Who?
You know who.
See, that to me sounds like a threat.
No, it's not a threat, Bill. It's a promise. It's not a threat. It's a promise.
That sounds like a threat. You're going to talk to this crossing guard and say what?
Mr. Henry, she knows that she did a stutter step and she was trying to get me to hit her. It was like dodgeball.
She's got a child in a crosswalk and you think she's all of a sudden playing dodgeball with a car? 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here in Winston, North Carolina. It is JR. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Turn your radio down for me and you're on the air.
Okay, I'll turn the radio down.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
These people they never do what you tell them, do they?
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Okay, I just want to say that I wouldn't waste airtime on someone named Bobby. Number one,
with your radio turned up. You didn't even know to turn your radio down. You didn't know to turn your radio down.
Okay. Whether you're coming out of a gated community or not, or whether you have bucks, you need to have brain matter and some humanity. If you do not care about another human being, then you yourself is not a human being. I don't care how
you didn't turn your radio down. You didn't turn your radio down.
All right, we got it already that she didn't turn her radio down.
Great.
We understand. Go ahead.
Who's dumber?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
I would say that this woman has no sense. no human sense. Because if you're driving a car, you are responsible for driving that car. I don't care whether you have tinted windows or not. And she keeps talking about tinted windows and someone that she's going to have a meeting with. So what? Is that
Patron
above
tequila?
Humanity?
Patron Tequila.
I beg your pardon?
I was going to meet with representatives from Patron Tequila. This would be the very first time that they would offer complimentary tequila to our Wintertacular.
I can barely understand what you're saying.
Of course. Every time I'm on your program, Mr. Henry, it's the same thing.
Go ahead, JR. I apologize.
All I have to say is that someone like that really has no humanity, does not care about other people. She thinks that money is it. Well, bust is fine, but you need some brain matter also.
All right. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. It's one more phone call here. Jamie, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a law student here in California. And I can guarantee, I can tell you positively that the law in California is that if someone is in a crosswalk, you must stop. There are no exceptions. I'm meeting with a Patron exception. There's not an I'm driving a big sedan.
What about the tinted window? What about the tinted windows?
Because if there's no exception for tinted windows, you may have tinted windows on your car if they come from the manufacturer that way.
Thank you. That's right. That's what I said.
All right, Don Berman next. Thank you very much, Bobby, and all of my callers. I appreciate it. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Heart racing and palpitations to massive migraine type headaches.
We should work to make sure the taxes will not go up by thousands of dollars.
We didn't know what was going on, and then he pulled out his gun and shot the projector.
My view has always been that we have to do what's in the best interest of the armed forces.
I had a wet dream last night.
That is a threat on the radio.
World-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and on through the looking glass we go every night, going places other talk shows cannot go. Coming up this hour, we got Don Berman from Channel 19 News, and we're going to talk about WikiLeaks. Next hour, we're joined by Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. We've got our news hour. And don't forget the Phil Henry Show website, a backstage pass, very nice thing to give for this holiday season. You give somebody who's a Phil Henry fan in your family the backstage pass or in your life, and they'll have unlimited access to our archives, thousands of hours of archived, downloadable radio material from the Phil Henry Show, the groundbreaking Phil Henry Show. We have our video casts, which are archived up to 5 days, simply because it's an enormous file. We've got video rants. We've got our classic podcasts, our regular daily podcasts. And it's all there on the Phil Henry Show website, including our news feed and your ability to comment on all of the things that we talk about, all of the stories that we post there, the show logs, everything that you can only do if you got a BSP. So backstage, pass it, baby, philhenryshow.com. Number is 877-876-PHIL. All right, WikiLeaks. Now I'm going to get Don Berman on the phone here in a moment. Don is the anchor over Channel 19 News. They are doing a special on this, my understanding, and they're going to be starting... I guess early next week, because you guys, Don, you have been working overtime with a lot of this WikiLeaks material. But you understand, of course, the government is upset. Hillary Clinton is upset.
I understand.
The American people, I think, don't like this. This is, you know, here is a guy, this Julian Assange and whoever this army guy is, they've decided that they're going to go ahead and release all of this material. The government has said it's very injurious to America, injurious to America's security. It could, you know, literally it could mean somebody's life. And all of this, why? Because, why?
Well, I think the answer to why is in how it's received by the American people. I think the American people, Phil, are ultimately the judges on this material. And I think that ultimately, this is a story that not only can benefit the American people by knowing what their government is actually doing, but I dare say it's a story, Phil, for the ages, because any reporter that really puts his stamp on this has done a great service.
But again, President Obama wants to, he wants to prosecute. Eric Holder wants to prosecute. The Secretary of State is Hillary Clinton is very upset. I don't think there's an America, there's not anybody in government, and certainly in the military. And I even talked to a friend of mine today who is a liberal, I mean a self-described progressive, who said, at what point is this total transparency become just walking out there in the middle of the lion's den?
I think that's a little dramatic. We have here information, Phil, that can help us govern our country better.
Do you know what's in this report?
The WikiLeaks report?
Yeah. What is in it? What has been leaked?
What has been leaked? I'll tell you what's been leaked. What has been leaked is information that the American people need to have.
And no, but I mean specifically, what has been leaked?
Specifically, let's not worry about what specifically is in the report. I'll tell you what is specific about this report. I had Tom Drennan, I had Bill Shanks, and I had a very, very good friend of yours, Luisa Hernandez, all of them from our news division, say to me that this was, in their minds, going to be probably the best piece that I've put together. And I'm very gratified by that, because you know that I've had a tough year. I don't think it's been hidden in the press at all that I had a very, very difficult time with my personal life.
Right.
And for me to be able to come back from something like that, the hospitalization, and I'll let people know, I was hospitalized for alcoholism. And to be able to come back from that and hit it out of the park with a story like this ensures, I think, two things. That my relationship with my viewers will continue, and that the name Don Berman will not be associated with alcoholism and the death of a pedestrian who was obviously in the wrong, and instead will mean that Don Berman is a reporter.
The hit and run, I didn't want to get into that.
Well, we don't have to get into that, but because it's been all over the press. The fact of the matter is, you had just been talking to this woman, Bobby Dooley, who was making a joke out of running somebody down. I don't at all make a joke out of it. I say unequivocally that person jumped off the curb right in front of me.
And you'd been drinking.
And I want to ask you a question. Yes, I've been drinking. Are we going to make this now about my problems, or are we...
No, we're going to make it about WikiLeaks, but I... This is what I'm saying here. You've got a story here, Don, that the president, that the administration, that the security apparatus of our country, that American citizens, both left and right, are feeling a little uncomfortable about. You know, we've had more things that have been divulged to the press in the name of the freedom of press, the name of information. And are we really doing things here that are is this going to help our country? Is it going to put our country at risk? You're doing a news story. You're going to continue to regurgitate these points. I understand that UPI and AP and all the rest have been, I've got it right in front of me. But, you know, there's stuff in here, for instance, the United States and its opinions of Ahmadinejad, its opinions of Mubarak, who we're trying to work as an ally, its opinions of King Abdullah, our opinion of Silvio Berlusconi, who is the Prime Minister of Italy, Vladimir Putin, all of these things which are behind-the-scenes memos, which are not supposed to be seen by third parties, which are assessments and opinions of individuals. This stuff's getting spilled out there and is going to affect our relations with other countries.
Well, exactly. And
did you read this stuff?
Of course I read it. Of course I read it, because I'm doing a report on it.
Did you see what they were saying here about Putin? You know, an alpha dog, you know, the guy is, he's the head of a virtual mafia state.
I saw that, and I said to myself, that was wrong, and the American people need to know that that's what we're saying about Putin. And
no, that's not the point.
Well, I think it is the point, Bill.
No, I don't think it's the point. Of course we're going to have opinions about these leaders, and of course these are going to be opinions that you speak about behind closed doors, and you say them perhaps in a memo, and you say them perhaps in a letter, and maybe in an email, but you're not broadcasting it. Sarkozy, an emperor with no clothes, thin-skinned, authoritarian personal style. You know, talking about Gaddafi's dalliances with a longtime Ukrainian nurse. On and on and on. This guy, Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe, getting backhanded praise and criticism and all of these things that are secret, you're going to continue to talk about because you feel the American people need to know all this stuff.
The American people have to know all of this, and they will know all of it, and I trust the American people.
Have you read this?
That's the third time you've asked me that.
But have you read it?
I've read enough of it to know that this is...
So you haven't read the whole thing?
No one can read all of it, Phil.
No, I mean, just the story. The 10 points that are... here are the top 10 revelations. That's the story that I've got here. Have you read this story?
No, I have not read the story, no.
How much of this have you read? How much of this WikiLeaks stuff have you read?
How many times are you going to ask me that? I think I answered the question.
Well, be honest with me. Have you read any of it?
Yes, I've read any of it. Yes, I have.
How much?
I've read enough.
Well, you know, I don't think you have. And
you know, you don't think I've read it?
No, I don't. And I got to tell you something. You're going to do a report on that.
Well, first of all, I don't have to read it to know it's explosive. I don't have to read it to know it's explosive. And I don't have to read it to know that everybody's talking about it.
And you're still going to do the report on it?
I have to do the report on it for two reasons. The American people must know this, and I must do this report. Because you decided that you wanted to bring up my drunk driving arrest, and you wanted to bring up my hit and run, and it seems like on your program tonight you're fixating on people running other people over. I did not run anyone over. Someone jumped off of a curb in front of my car. And one of the reasons why I drive a Mercedes is to try not to be hurt or to hurt other people.
That wasn't the case, though.
And here we go. So you want to just keep talking about me?
Well, you said that the reason why you want to do the WikiLeaks story is because it's going to revive your career.
I never used those words at all, Phil.
Well, you said that the people upstairs...
Yes, the people upstairs said to me, this is going to be the best report I've ever done. Wow.
Of intelligence, of intelligence you haven't read. Let me just, for my listeners' sake here, Don, the story here, and these are the top 10 revelations of WikiLeaks, and I mentioned, as can be expected, Ahmadinejad doesn't come off easily. They equate him to Hitler. Hosni Mubarak, they say he does not think rationally. Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah requests that Iran's foreign minister spare us your evil. King Abdullah's remarks on Iran are some of the most striking comments to be found in the leaks. Abdullah has repeatedly, alongside Egypt and the United Arab Emirates, implored the U.S. to take military action against Iran in response to its nuclear program to, in his words, cut off the head of the snake. Iran we are being encouraged to attack Iran by Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Egypt. Now tell me that that isn't damaging.
You don't think the American people should know that we're being encouraged to attack?
What are the American people going to do with information like that? The American people could do a lot of stuff with information like that. But you know who's getting the information now? Iran's getting it.
Don't you think Iran should know?
No, I don't think Iran should know every little thing that America's doing. No, I don't.
And you want to put at risk millions of Iranian lives. And the story, and you have me at a disadvantage. I didn't read it. But could you read that to me again?
No, I'm not going to read it to you again. You get it and you read it. You're doing the story.
You missed the point of news. And I think what's happening here is you're embarrassing yourself in front of your listeners.
No, I don't think so.
Well, I do. I'm going to do this report because it's important. And
even though you haven't read it.
It's important, and I will go ahead and I'll play your game. Yes, I was arrested for drunk driving, and yes, it will bring my career back. I went ahead and I played what I think is a very cheap and a very insulting game.
Well, Don, you brought up the fact that you had, you know, this was going to bring you back. Don Berman from Channel 19 News, obviously we're having a debate here. I don't think he should do a story on this. I don't think anybody should do any stories on this. I don't think this stuff should have come out. Why don't I think it should have come out? Because my government doesn't think it should have come out. That's good enough for Phil Henry right now. You know, there's some stuff that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, everybody and his mommy don't have to know about necessarily. Is it really going to enable us as a people to know that our government happens to consider, you know, Ahmadinejad Hitler? I mean, like that's a shock. The fact that the Egyptians and the United Arab Emirates and I believe what other country did they mention? And, oh, yeah, Saudi Arabia has been encouraging us to take military action against Iran. Well, that's a, not that we would. I guess they saw the good job we're doing in Iraq, and we did do a good job in Iraq. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This WikiLeaks stuff. What about it? Don Berman is going to do a full report on it next week. He hasn't even read it, but he feels the American people ought to know what's in it. And, oh, yeah, it's going to help him career-wise recover from that drunk driving and hit and run that took place earlier this year. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, and here we have on the line with us Don Berman from Channel 19 News, and we're discussing the WikiLeaks leak. Now, what is I don't think people really know what WikiLeaks is, but it's a website that is run by this guy named Julian Assange. He's a Swede. He has, by the way, there is a Interpol warrant out for this guy for sexual molestation and sexual assault. I mean, this is the most bizarre story. These are individuals that are trafficking in material. These are secrets of the United States government that are being trafficked internationally, that are being put out on all kinds of websites, that were leaked by a member of the United States military. It's embarrassing the government. It's embarrassing the American people. It's stuff that the government doesn't want out there. This is, we're not talking about George Bush now. We're talking about Barack Obama. So you still want to do this report? I'm asking you as an American citizen, not as a Channel 19 news anchor, but as an American citizen, why are you doing this?
Why don't you ask the New York Times why they're doing it?
I don't have the New York Times on the line right now. I have you. If I had the New York Times on the line, I'd ask them. And that's why the New York Times won't do any interviews as to why it is they do what they do. They can't defend what they do. Can you?
I can most certainly defend what I do, Mr. Hendry. I've been a long-time journalist. I understand the consequences.
Do you understand the consequences that have been articulated by the government, that this information could put people at risk?
I understand that, yes.
That it could put the relations that we have, that this country's relationships with different countries could be affected negatively. Do you understand that?
You know, Phil, I'm not on a witness stand. This is not a trial.
I understand. I'm just asking you a question. Because I want to know the difference between the newsman and the citizen. There's Don Berman, the newsman, and there's Don Berman, the citizen.
Don Berman, the citizen, and the newsman are intertwined. And I do this report, Phil, because it is important for the American people to have this information. And yes, it's important for me to ensure that I have a viable career. I went through a very, very difficult personal episode.
All right, I want to ask you something. What about the country?
You were asking me about me a moment ago.
But what about the country?
The country will survive. The country will survive.
The country will survive.
The country is a big country. America is a big country. And it will survive. People have the right to know. And frankly, I have the right to help my career. Okay, and if you want me to be very graphic, the country can fend for itself.
So in other words, you know, right now at a time when we have young men and women in Afghanistan and Iraq who have, as we've said, written a check to the United States, to the American people, up to and including the value of their lives, you're saying the country can fend for itself.
Well, that was very dramatic. Here, hold on. That was just so dramatic.
All right, you know, if you want to be a smartass.
No, I'm not being a smartass. You asked me what my country means. I love my country. I love my country. Is it wrong of me to love me, too? I love me.
All right, you love you.
All right. And I would rather that I live to have another paycheck. I've got contract negotiations coming up in 6 months. And they were going to seriously talking about a 30% cutback. Now, I can't do that. And
how much? Well, you don't want to tell me how much you're making.
No, I don't want to tell you how much I make. That's nobody's business. I can't do a 30. If I hit a home run with this story on WikiLeaks, then I've made my name for myself. Now, you're asking me, what has that got to do with the country? Why do I have to worry about the country when you don't care, and neither does the New York Times, but now Don Berman...
I care about the country, and I can honestly tell you that if somebody came to me and said, would you please not publish this, Mr. Henry, because the U.S. government would rather that you not, I wouldn't have a problem doing that. I would go ahead and do what they ask. Because, you know, it's a rare thing these days, a rare thing, other than, like you said, like I said, the people in Afghanistan and Iraq, it's a rare thing for the American people to go to bat for their government. We got more people bitching about it.
Well, are you kidding me? This government that we have today, the information will be out there with or without my report. So you're upset that I'm making a smart career move to focus on the leaks in order to promote my career? You know, are you mad that I came up with this angle first and you didn't?
No.
Well, I am telling you that Don Berman has got to survive. I was in jail. I had a drunk driving arrest. I had the hit and run. I had all manner of personal problems 2 years ago. I'm not afraid to put it out there, paternity suit.
So you're going to get your career back, and meanwhile the country gets damaged.
I get my career back and the country gets damaged. You know, Phil, I get my career back in America.
And you haven't even read this stuff.
What's to read? You keep talking about reading stuff. What do I... You just told me it's about Hitler and a bunch of ridiculous stuff.
Okay, and it... All right, we'll be back with Don Berman. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Don Berman and the WikiLeaks thing. Well, he's just being a good newsman. The government doesn't want it out there. Nobody wants it out there, but hey, it'll help his career, and it'll help him recover from the hit and run. We'll be back.
Oh, don't make a big deal out of it.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. With me is Don Berman from Channel 19 News. This WikiLeaks story, so you're planning, and we're talking about WikiLeaks. What is it? It's a bunch of documents that were leaked to this website, WikiLeaks, by a United States Army, member of the United States Army, somebody who had a laptop computer and was able to get a hold of this stuff. It's all about our opinion of certain leaders. There was some information having to do with casualties in Afghanistan. And the government feels it's very injurious. Now, I don't know whether or not it's injurious in terms of national security secrets.
Well, that's the question, Phil. And that's the question. And don't you think the American people should decide?
Well, do you believe that there's such a thing as national security that the government has to... Somebody has the final say on?
What do you mean?
I mean, if the American people should quote-unquote decide everything, at what point do we say, well, then let's just throw it all out there and we don't have anything having to do with national secrets or diplomacy or anything like that?
Well, you know what, Phil, you're getting into questions now that I don't know that anyone can answer. I told you that this was going to be a very important story for me and for my career. I admitted to you that I haven't read the entire WikiLeaks story. I admitted to you that I don't really know what's in it. But I did tell you that if we hit a home run with this report next week, that my career will be back on track after a drunk driving arrest, number one, and a hit-and-run arrest, number two. Now, I tried to be as delicate as I could in revealing this to your audience in the preceding segment, but you keep pushing it and pushing it. So I'll roll it out there any way you want me to.
All right. So not that I want to embarrass you.
Oh, well, it sounds to me that's exactly what you want to do. You're saying to me, well, Mr. Berman, the country's interests are not as important as you coming back from a drunk driving arrest.
Because you brought it up. And you brought up the fact that there was a news organization behind you that is really going to enjoy this report because they want to see you come back from these bad experiences.
That is exactly right, because they were going to fire me. Is that even more graphic for you? So I've come on your program tonight, and I've gone from wanting to promote a Channel 19 news piece to telling everybody that I was this close to being fired, that I had an alcohol abuse problem, that I've got a hit and run on my record. I had a paternity suit 2 years ago, and that's what you have done to me.
I didn't do it to you. I just asked you, you know, what is more important, your career or America?
I told you in this case, my career is more important. My career is more important. And America will survive. The fact is, Phil, this WikiLeaks story is so above the head of the average person that we can report it, and I can put any spin I want on it, and people will think it's not that terrible. Because,
well, how do you know that? I mean, we the last 3 days, there's been nothing but reports about how damaging this is.
Well, there have been a lot of reports, but the American people don't know anything about this. The news consumers are confused by this story. The average news consumer doesn't even know what WikiLeaks is. They think it's a new game, for all they know. They don't know, and they certainly don't know what's contained in these reports. Nobody stopped to read this stuff, so the average person thinks that we're wasting time talking about this, and frankly, other than the fact that I'm promoting this news special, I think we are. So when I put my spin on this thing next week, as I will, the American people will believe anything that we tell them. It seems like you want to try to, I don't know, run my career. And
you've already asked me about my selfish motives. You asked me that last half hour. So we don't have to go there anymore, okay?
You don't want me to revitalize my career.
No, I don't care whether you revitalize your career or not. It's just the fact that this is a... All right, you know what? Screw it. Go ahead, do your report.
What?
Do the report. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. To me...
Look at Phil, you know, why don't you praise me? O'Reilly, Hannity, they're happy about this leak. Okay, they're happy about this leak, but they won't admit it. I admit it.
I don't want to talk about O'Reilly or Hannity, and I to be honest with you, good luck. You know, have fun.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah, that's it. And good luck with your career, and good luck bringing it back. Thanks a lot, Don Berman.
You hung up on him.
I got nothing more to say to the guy. And he's right. You know, the American people don't know anything about this story. I'm sorry that I inflicted people with this story. It's not anything that anybody knows anything about. We won't know anything about it until what? I guess until all this stuff comes spilling out. And that's exactly what they don't want to have happen. They don't want the stuff to come spilling out. But it's going to come spilling out. Nobody's going to know anything about this unless the stuff... These are leaks from God knows who... And they're being, reported by this WikiLeaks website. And it's all stuff having to do, in this instance, with American diplomacy. There's Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who is referred to as a Hitler type. And I told you about King Abdullah, who wants us to attack Iran. And Vladimir Putin is the head of a mafia state. And Sarkozy is an emperor with no clothes. And Angela Merkel, whose country's relative economic stability during the recession has won her a great deal of clout in Europe, is depicted as indecisive and fearful of risks to a fault. German Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle is also described by current U.S. envoy to Berlin, Philip Murphy, as having thoughts short on substance. The name of the soldier that leaked this is PFC Bradley Manning. He's being investigated for being the source that gave the documents to WikiLeaks, and he's admitted as such. He has admitted that he is the source. And I guess the only thing left now is to prosecute this piece of crap. And, you know, I don't know what they call... Do they even prosecute treason anymore? I don't know if they do. Gaddafi's rumored dalliances with his longtime Ukrainian nurse, who's been described as a voluptuous blonde, were mentioned in leaked cable, which makes another reference to four other female Ukrainian nurses who also travel at his side. Okay. So the guy, but understand, all of this stuff is just... What it is, it's conversation between diplomats... People in the State Department, intelligence people, and it is a way for them to assess personalities and therefore to assess how to approach these individuals. It is obviously then, therefore, not stuff that you broadcast. And in other words, the leaking of this, therefore, Not only is it injurious to our relations with other countries, there's no real state secrets here. It isn't anything that America's doing that is evil. So we happen to think that Angela Merkel is, you know, indecisive, and we think some guy is a, you know, is another Hitler. Is there anybody that doesn't think that about that douchebag Ahmadinejad? But now it's official. Well, good luck. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard coming up with our news hour, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know what? I'm so tired of... never mind.
Well, you don't want that WikiLeaks story, man. You're the one did it.
I did the WikiLeaks story, and I think it's an important story, you know. But maybe it's not that... I don't know. I have to tell you something. I'm always disappointed in myself when I get conned into doing a story. Never mind.
That story, WikiLeaks, nobody even know.
I gather... I don't even know. Don Berman didn't even know. Don Berman's doing two, whatever he's going to do, like two, three, four reports on this thing, and he doesn't know what it's about. All he knows is WikiLeaks. I know one thing. Whoever that private, that Manning, that Bradley Manning, he sounds like a douchebag, doesn't he?
Yeah.
They ought to stick that guy's ass in the old lethal injection. They either have that guy ride the lightning or give him the joy juice. One of the two, man. All right, a mom sues her son's high school over other students wearing perfume, cologne, etc. She claims he's allergic to scents. But get a load of this. The doctors say they've never heard of such an allergy. Now, I love this. One Indiana high school could have a zero-tolerance policy on cologne, perfume, and other sprayed body scents if concerned mother Janice Zandi wins a court case that she filed against the Fort Wayne Community High Schools for not banning the scents that her son Jay-Z is allegedly allergic to. 17-year-old Jay-Z, what is that? Is that his name or something?
Well, they may be hiding his identity.
Well, okay. Jay-Z. You know what? That's her initials, Janice Zandi, and her son's Jay-Z.
Maybe her son's name is Janice. What?
Her son's name is Janice, huh?
Well, I mean...
Her son's name is... Obviously, they don't want anybody to know the kid's name. 17-year-old Junior has had to be treated for a reaction at school several times in the last year in connection with his allergy. Every time a girl walks by and lifts her skirt up, I'm kidding.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. He's had to be treated for a reaction at the school several times in the last year in connection with his allergy. Thrice... There's a good word.
What's that mean?
Thrice, three times. Thrice requiring an ambulance to nearby Parkview North Hospital, where he was treated for respiratory distress. Claiming that the school district's refusal to protect her son with a fragrance ban violates the Americans with Disabilities Act, Zandi filed the suit November the 12th. The problem here, Mom, is that you got to have a doctor who's going to say, well, you know what, you're right, and here's the scientific evidence. Now, apparently that isn't the case. Several allergists contacted said they never heard of an actual allergy to sprayed scents, and they noted that an allergy would be highly unlikely given the size of the particles in perfume.
I thought they said you could be allergic to, like, perfume. I thought I heard about that. Yeah, I did, too.
I don't know. I thought I did, too, but... Generally, said one of these allergists, Dr. Wesley Burks, chief of pediatric allergy and immunology at Duke University Medical Center, generally we think of sprays as irritating to someone with asthma, but this is not a true allergy. Well, then the kid's got asthma. Whether allergy or asthma, Jay-Z's case pushes the envelope on school liability concerning allergies. If won, the case could open up broader interpretation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Well, how are you going to win them? If you win it, then I guess there is such a thing as having an allergy to perfume.
Yeah, well, the man said that they had never heard of that, and you and I know some people get sick and they smell stuff.
You know, there's all kinds of people, man. Over the last 10, 15 years, I've heard about people throwing, you know, I heard about some guy having a problem with perfume. Yeah, I heard about somebody else having a problem with this, that, some other thing.
What about that boy in a bubble, man? That proved, right there, prove it. Oh, not everybody living in a bubble. A bull in a bubble and one boy in a bubble, man. Not everybody in a bubble. No, but that does prove that people will be allergic to stuff that a normal person cannot be. And I'm not saying everybody live in a bubble.
Well, the boy in the bubble, that's an immunology problem that is very rare. But you're right. You're right. The kid's allergic to, or he's got problems, man, whatever that is. What happened to that kid anyway?
They had to build a bigger bubble, didn't they?
Had to build a bigger bubble. Is he still around, that poor child? Remember him?
I sort of remember.
Bigger bubble. I guess they would have to build a bigger bubble.
Yeah. And how are you going to put a bubble? I guess you don't need an airbag.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't need an airbag on a car. I understand. Ha, 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 ha.
No.
Anyway, whether allergy or asthma, Jay-Z's case pushes the envelope. According to the official complaint, Jay-Z has never suffered anaphylactic reaction outside of the school grounds and can tolerate exposure to the normal sense found in contemporary American society.
What about fart? Yeah. No, I'm serious.
Oh, well, what do you think, man? If he would have said farts, then I guess he would have said farts. But then again, I guess his own farts wouldn't be able to have, you know, would have to smell like lilacs in order for him to survive. Normal scents found in contemporary American society and reacts only to freshly sprayed perfumes, colognes, and body sprays, such as Axe, A-X-E, lingering in the air. None of the allergists contacted by ABC, however, had ever heard of an allergy to any sprayed scent. I know of no documentation. It's just one doctor after another saying that this is a load of horse dung. And
what if the kid dies or something?
Well, if the kid dies, the kid dies. I don't know. It isn't like anybody wants the kid to die. It's not like anybody is looking for this kid to be. Nobody wants to get sued, you know. But you can't just say, really, Mrs. Brown? Well, you're right. So what we'll do is we'll have every kid in the school not wear any kind of cologne or scent. And we'll make sure, and if some kid makes a mistake and comes to school with a cologne scent on, and we're not aware of it because we can't just stand there and sniff every kid that goes by, and your kid goes into some anaphylactic shock or otherwise dies, then you'll sue us, and then we'll turn around and we'll sue the kid, and he'll turn around and he'll sue his parents, and the parents will turn around and sue Gillette.
That's what he's wearing.
Man aims to cash in on a Marine's storage unit treasures. Here's a guy that's a real douchebag. His name is Mark Perko of Hobart, Indiana, and he's a real scum-sucking dog. Listen to this guy. The funeral flag of the first U.S. servicewoman killed in Afghanistan and her dog tag and her military medals, even the Gold Star banner given to her family after her death, are for sale. The Northwest Indiana businessman who now owns many of the late Marine, Sergeant Jeanette Winter's personal effects, isn't saying how much he plans on selling the items for, but he's sure that he's not going to give them away for free, not to Winter's family, nor to the homeless shelter in Gary named after her last week. This is how I make my living. This is how I feed my kids, said Mark Perko of Hobart. Now, Sergeant Jeanette Winters, a Gary, Indiana native, was the first U.S. servicewoman to die in the war in Afghanistan when a tanker plane crashed into a mountain in Pakistan in January of 2002. Her family put the items into storage for safekeeping after someone broke into her father's home during her funeral. This is according to her brother, Matthew Winters. Later, their father became sick, likely causing him to miss the payments. Now, this was a storage unit. Perko bought the items at an auction about 4 years ago. He said he buys many items at storage unit auctions every year, but knew immediately what he was buying when he opened the Winters family unit. The picture was right there, he said, pointing to a framed photo. Well, this guy's very proud of this. Also in the unit was a report about the crash that took her life, letters from President George Bush and the mayor of Chicago, Richard Daley, an Indiana General Assembly proclamation, and a Gary City Council resolution. It also included her birth certificate, personal photographs, and a white Calumet High School graduation gown. But Mr. Perko said he doesn't remember how much he paid for the items, nor would he say how much he wants for them. He said he's kept the collection in the back of his furniture outlet business for years, but publicity might prompt him to move it. This is how I feed my family. This is how I do what I do. Soon after he bought the items, Perko said he reached out to the Winters family through a friend with connections to the Marines. He said he never heard back and declined to say if he would have donated them to the family then. He probably would have sold them back at a reasonable price. Is that what you would have done, Mr. Perko, in order to feed your family? If they left it in a storage unit, obviously it didn't mean a whole hell of a lot to them, he said. How about that? If he left them in a storage unit, obviously, you know, there's an argument to be made for that. And there's also an argument to be made for the fact that they couldn't afford to keep these things in storage. and they couldn't afford the price tag on the rental. And there's all kinds of things that you can say. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can postulate. But if that's the family, and this is the daughter, and this is what happened to the daughter, and this is the family here, then it doesn't take too much of a sensitive nature to just say, you know what, here, I'd like you to have these back, because I don't have to be a complete douchebag today. I can elevate myself above the slime for about 5 minutes, because I know I got to feed my family, and I know that I got to feed my kids, and I know I got to put a roof over their head. But for about 5 lousy minutes, I can elevate myself above the scum and the slime and give the stuff back to them. I don't understand, man. Why can't that guy sell that? What are you talking about, man? I mean, this is the stuff that this girl who died in Afghanistan, that's her family.
Yeah, but that guy said he got to feed his family.
What do you mean he's got to feed his family? What is he? His family going to starve because he can't sell this woman's her decorations, everything, man. There's a citation for the president. There's a letter from the mayor of Chicago. There's a citation from the Indiana General Assembly. There's all kinds of stuff there. What else is in here?
It says here perfume.
That's the other story. Perfume. Gold star from the press, all kinds of stuff. And this guy, he's got to feed his family, huh? Here you go. The funeral flag, dog tags, military medals, the gold star banner given to her family after her death. Now, here's a guy, I understand, you know, in this world that we live in, it's a hardball world. I get it, man. I know that. And, you know, it's dog eat dog. And boy, what a terrible, tough time a lot of people are having and so on and so forth. But there's some stuff that's just sacrosanct, dude. There's some stuff that just, it transcends your need to feed your messed up family.
Well, how do you know they're messed up?
If he's the dad, they're messed up. All you got to do, man, is go over to these people, say, here is the stuff. You put it in a nice little box. You say, you know what? I'm donating it to you. And I'll find another way to make my money. Now, this guy goes to auctions and he buys this stuff and then he sells it. And I guess that's what he does. He's got a furniture showroom someplace. Who knows? I don't know anything about these people, these collectors. And I'm sure a lot of them find very valuable things. But in this instance, I mean, it's different, you know.
What about like if there's a civil war or something and they had a medal and everything like that?
That's different, man. I mean, if there's nobody around, if you find this thing, let me ask you this. If you had a guy's Civil War medal, okay?
Yeah.
And then a member of his family said, oh, that was my great-great-great-grandfather. Can we have that medal back? What would you say?
Well, I'd set a price.
You'd set a price.
Yeah, that is kind of douchebag.
You'd set a price, huh?
Well, what's wrong with that? That's not the guy. And the great-great-great-grandfather, they don't even know him for nothing.
I personally would give it to them. I don't know. All right, coming back on the Phil Hendry Show, I can't read this. So when we come back on the Phil Hendry Show, what does that say, man? That's like that's Hobbit writing. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I asked them if I could go to the bathroom. I didn't have to go.
I just want to say, I thought it was a productive meeting. I thought that people came
There's
to
a fine line between adventure and insanity.
In summary, a strong majority of those who answered the survey.
That urine!
That is a threat on the radio.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Through the looking glass we go, a high wire act every night, man, that's for sure. No one places other talk shows wish they had the guts to go to. Can you get high off of a baking spice? Well, teens are apparently using nutmeg. In fact, teens were using nutmeg 40 years ago. I don't know why this is such a big story. But it's kind of like don't touch my junk. Suddenly, there's a whole bunch of people that, you know. Also, a student Googles himself and discovers he's wanted for murder. 877-876-PHIL on our website, philhendryshow.com. philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of the show. And if you miss the breaks, if you miss the uncensored pre-show, if you miss all of the uncensored parts of this show, you're missing it, man. Because I'll tell you something, one way or another, we're going to make some money on this show. And if it isn't with the show itself, it's me losing my mind behind the scenes or going off when, you know.
Yeah, in other words, look at you being a douche.
You know what, man? Okay, so I'm being a douche. Do I ever deny it?
No, I'll give you that much.
Jeez. 877-876-PHIL. Ant-covered Jesus sparks controversy, threats of defunding in Smithsonian's National Portrait Gallery. I always like these stories because I'm a big supporter of the arts. I really am. But I also know that when it comes to the public funding of arts, you can only go so far, you know. And it, some people may think that it's an important thing to fund a guy's video of a crucifix of Jesus that is covered with ants because it's a statement on AIDS. I get it. The artist, as well as the co-curator of the exhibit, where they were talking to, actually, the conservative news site csnews.com, and he said that it depicts Jesus on a crucifix covered with ants. It was made in 1987 to explore the social response to AIDS through the years. All right. I'm not willing to argue with any of that. Anyone ought to say it's a violent, disturbing, and hallucinatory presentation. It precisely replicates the impact of the disease itself and a society that can barely comprehend its magnitude. All of that stuff is very heavy. But until such time as the American people are up to speed on that kind of art, then you're going to have a controversy. You're always going to have a problem. You're always going to have a problem. You can stand there and make your case. But if people say, I don't think so, then that's where that's at. Now, right now, you know, with the budget the way it is and our need for money, ant-covered Jesuses just ain't going to make it. You know, it's like that Mapplethorpe guy.
That's the guy that had the picture of a man's penis.
It wasn't just that. It was a crucifix. It was a crucifix in a what was it, Robert?
Yeah, it was a crucifix in a glass of urine or something. Dude, what is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. But and I'm not willing to say that it's not important art. I'll bet you it is. It was Robert Mapplethorpe. That's who it was. And I'm not going to stand here and say that, you know, art is art. What the hell is art? You know, when you get into art, I'll tell you this much. There's a lot of people that may say that art is the province of the big city, that art, really, really sophisticated or so-called sophisticated art or highly symbolic art, is all the province of the big city, is the province of New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, San Francisco, and all of those art colonies, you know. And some people may react to art that way. We may have a rural-urban split in America. When it comes to art, what does a average American consider to be artistic? Maybe they fall back on the masters, on the American masters. Maybe they fall back on what, you know?
Well, about that one picture of that old man with a pitchfork.
Yeah, that one is the one I think about.
The old man with a pitchfork?
Yeah. He's standing with a pitchfork, man. It doesn't look happy.
What is he talking about?
You know the one. It's an old guy with a pitchfork, and he looks mad.
Oh, okay, I know that. American Gothic.
I don't know, but that's one everybody says.
Yeah, it's called American Gothic. Yeah, it's like a farmer and his wife.
Yeah,
it's American Gothic. What do you want? You know, so maybe there's some people. Maybe they think it's Norman Rockwell. You know,
I don't know about him.
He's a guy. Never mind. I mean, you've probably seen his stuff. You don't even know. Norman Rockwell was on a cover of. The Saturday Evening Post. That was an old magazine. Anyway. But I'll tell you something, man. You know, art is everywhere, and it's a very strange world, art. Now, there was a guy, and I can't even remember the name of this guy. But I went and visited this guy, and I'll tell you about his art. He did a cover for the Talking Heads album, and he did an ad for Smirnoff Vodka. And he is a dude that lived in northern Georgia, and he's a preacher, okay?
Yeah.
And I went up there to see his studio, and this cat was living with, forgive me for saying this, but the guy was living in northern Georgia. I mean, it's like, it's pretty redneck. I mean, there were a whole bunch of chain link fences and dogs tied to trees and, you know, mason block houses. And his name was Harold, God, what was this guy's name? But anyway, he was the epitome. What is his name? Howard Finster. That's it. Howard Finster. We met Howard Finster. And Howard Finster was a preacher, Southern to the bone, lived up there with all the other Southern folks up there in northern Georgia, because we saw his stuff in a gallery in Atlanta. And I was in Little Five Points, Atlanta, and I see this painting, and it was, and Howard Finster was known as a primitive. Now, why do they call him a primitive? There are certain people that are great artists, and they don't know how great they are. In other words, they just draw stuff, and it is profoundly, insanely great. I mean, this cat stuff was going $15,000, $20,000, and my friend bought one of his paintings. I think the one she bought was like $8,000-$10,000. She put down $10,000 for a painting.
She was this girlfriend of yours?
Yeah, and she wasn't rich, no, okay? Man, she did. Guys, and I said to the gallery owner, I go, what is a primitive? He goes, you know, like Grandma Moses. I mean, they are brilliant. I mean, when you look at their stuff, you realize it's brilliant, but they don't really know it. Well, Howard Finster was a primitive. Howard Finster drew these little figures, and he drew them by the hundreds in his paintings, and he drew one of, they're all diving into a pit of fire. It's like they're all going to hell, you know? Well, I mean, his stuff was so brilliant that the Talking Heads had him do an album cover. In fact, when we went to his house, the guy is sitting there in his kitchen, okay?
Yeah.
And he's got his big, tall nephew sitting behind him. And out on the street in northern Georgia, with all the chain link fences and the dogs tied to trees, are cars with like New York license plate, Colorado license plate, Florida, people from all over the country driving to Howard Finster's house. And he's in the kitchen holding forth. I mean, every day his nephew brings him in and he sits down and I can tell you, you know, and he sits there. He's got a ski cap pulled down. He's a Southern man. He's a preacher, believes in Jesus. And he said to me, I remember talking to him, and he said, I did a painting, I don't know if you saw it, for Smirnoff Vodka, see? And I'm a teetotaler. See, so that's how I got my message in. They didn't even know. You know, whether they knew or not, what difference does it make? Smirnoff used this painting for their ad. And Howard Finster's all, yeah, and I'm a teetotaler, see, so I got my message in, and that's how I do it. That's how I do it, you know. So the guy, you can tell, is slightly, he's not crazy, but he's just like, the cat's lit up, man. He's just lit up. Then he goes, have you taken my walk, have you taken the walk through the garden? And we said, no, we haven't. Well, you should go through my Jesus, go through the Christian garden, go in there, go now, you know. And so we go walking. Well, he has little bits of broken glass and stuff hanging from trees. I mean, the dude, you know, you would think the cat's just a really eccentric old man, except this guy is honored by the art establishment as a genius artist, you know. Land of Living Waters, I'm told. Finster's 48 by 60 painting entitled Land of Living Waters, $15,000. It's on sale on his website right now, $15,000. And is that the most expensive one? It can't be. I bet you he's got, it is? Well, I bet you that cat's, he must have some stuff that's, now I know he's passed on. I know he's passed on, but, right? Now, that's a guy that I would love for people to know more about, because Howard Finster is, like I say, he's a primitive. He's just he's a cat that just one day took a paint and a brush and just started drawing stuff. And it was, wow, you know, somebody went, this is pretty good. What else did he do? He did the Smirnoff Vodka, Talking Heads, a bunch of stuff. And I think if you see his work, you'll recognize it. You'll probably recognize it. Go, oh, wow, I think I did see that. Oh, and then the other thing is he had an 8x10 in his kitchen.
Yeah, did he say that he knew the Talking Heads and everything?
Yeah, I was going to say he had an 8x10 in his kitchen of him standing there with the band.
With a Talking Head?
Yeah, with the Talking Heads.
No, what?
Talking Heads?
You're talking about a Talking Head.
That's the name of the group, Talking Heads.
Talking Heads, a group? Oh,
what did you think I was talking about?
You were talking about he's talking to a head.
Talking Heads is the name of a band. There was an 8x10 photograph of him in his kitchen with David Byrne and all those guys, which was kind of a trip, you know. And I asked him, I said, so how'd you like doing the art for those guys? Oh, they're very nice young people. Nice group of young people, you know. But the dude, his cat was just very intense. And then at some point, His nephew says, okay, my uncle is, you know, tired. He's going to take his nap now. Okay. And so everybody has to split. But I asked, he said, the guy was like totally lit up. He goes, I'm up until three. I work till three in the morning. Yes, in the morning. And then I go to sleep. I sleep till five. And then I get up and work some more. And then, you know, so the guy only sleep like 3 hours a night or something. I mean, really interesting guy. So cats like that, I'm all in favor of like the ants crawling over Jesus. Yeah. But you know what we ought to be funding is more people like that. These homegrown primitive artists who are just absolutely brilliant. And they don't do what they do to provoke anybody. They don't do what they do to be controversial. They don't do what they do to piss anybody off. They're just, this stuff is coming out of their souls, you know, onto this canvas. And someone comes along and goes, this is really brilliant stuff, you know. Let's put it in our vodka ad. Yay!
I like to see that vodka ad.
If you Google, he's got several, he has several toilet bowl seats that he painted, 700 apiece. He's got a 6x2 painting of Marilyn Monroe for $9,000, really. I wonder if is the Smirnoff painting there? You know what we got to do, Jace, is get the Smirnoff painting. I'll put it on our website if we've got any of that, find any of that Finster stuff. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A student Googles himself and discovers that he's wanted for murder. Plus, Katy Perry or Pink, will they be able to overtake Glee for the top-selling iTunes single? Well, we'll tell you next to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Thank you.
And then I'm awake until free.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
If you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, we just put up Howard Finster's Talking Heads album cover that he did for Talking Heads. I'm trying to see, what's the name of the album, man?
It just said Talking Heads.
Just says Talking Heads, yeah. But you can see what I'm talking about. The guy's stuff is, oh, it's gone, all right.
This guy's stuff, it looked like a little kid did it.
What do you mean, a little kid? But it's, that's what they mean about primitive. See, he's self-taught, but the stuff that's coming out of his head, I mean, look at that stuff.
It all looks like another planet or something where the guy lived on. Look at all those clouds are smiling and stuff.
Yeah, he's got, like, smiling clouds and, oh, man. Anyway, it's the Talking Heads album called Talking Heads. I don't know what the hell's on it. But you'll recognize the album cover when you see it. 877-876-PHIL. Student Googles himself, finds he's accused of murder, and then finds that he's been convicted, found guilty, and executed. I'm joking about that last part, but a Florida college student got quite the shock.
Quite the shock, I say, Jerry.
When he Googled himself and discovered that authorities had released his name and photo as a suspect in a murder case. Why? Because they wanted to get their kicks, that's why. Because that's how those guys get their jollies. I'm kidding, but who knows? I was very shocked to find my picture in the article saying that I was convicted of a felony murder charge, said University of Florida student Zachary Garcia in a very nonchalant manner to Tampa Bay's WTSP. The mix-up occurred in September, when authorities arrested three teens following a botched robbery attempt in Davenport, Florida, but Garcia didn't learn about it until Saturday. During the robbery, the homeowner shot and killed one of the alleged burglars, 15-year-old Atil Rubio. Because the teen's death occurred during the commission of a felony, the Polk County Sheriff's Office charged his alleged accomplices with murder, according to WTSP. One of the teens charged in the crime, therefore, was Zachary Garcia. You'll note the murder suspect's first name is spelled with an E, whereas the college student's first name is spelled with an X. No, it's an A. But both Garcias also share the same birthday, March 6th, though they were born 1 year apart. So those details apparently escaped the notice of the police, who wound up associating not only Zachary Garcia's name with the crime, but also his driver's license photo. You know, it doesn't make any sense to have a normal name.
I'm going to tell you, man, I know my name's weird, but I didn't want to get a weirder name.
Well, how much weirder going to get?
If I were you, I'd change my name, Robert Leonard. That sounds normal.
But what are you going to do, man? I mean, what are you going to change your name to? Why don't you change your name to Moon Unit, okay?
There already is one of them.
Yeah, there is one of them, but the point being, You got to change your name to something weird. You know, that's fine. Change your name to something weird. But then you're just going to have a hassle every time, you know, every time you want to get yourself, what, a student pass to Disneyland, they'll say, how do you spell that? It's no secret that Googling your name, or ego surfing, as it's often called, can result in embarrassing discoveries. But this mistake, Garcia said, it was way over the line. Garcia told the news station that initially he was worried that the false information could result in his expulsion from school and the loss of his job. Are you kidding, pal? It's going to get a lot worse than that, man. It's going to get a lot worse than that. This is not just getting expelled from school. We're talking about murder. Zachary Garcia talks to WTSP television.
My initial reaction was pure shock, and after that, it was just me being upset. Everybody makes mistakes. You know, I work at Publix. You know, I might get somebody's sub wrong, but for somebody, you know, to get, you know, that wrong, it's not a sandwich. You know, it's somebody's life you're playing with.
Garcia told the news station initially he was worried that the false information could result in his expulsion. Oh, I already told you that. Anyway, while it's unclear what Garcia was hoping to find when he Googled his name, he did see a picture of Howard Finster's Talking Heads album that was...
Really?
No, not really. He will have plenty to read about now, as the tech-minded website Geekosystem.com points out. And now, as this story spreads, non-murder suspect Zachary Garcia is going to see his name pop up in all of these murder-related stories about how Googling his name used to erroneously cause his photo to turn up in connection with a murder case. You idiot!
Yeah, man, they're right about that. But, if he had not made a story out of it.
Well, but you see, here's the problem. He didn't make the story out of it. The mistake made the story out of it.
No, when he Googled his name, he found that out.
Really? Is he the guy that brought it to their attention?
I guess. I don't know.
That's pretty scary, man. All right, here are the top 10 singles and albums on iTunes. Firework, Katy Perry, Raise Your Glass, Pink. Ha! We Are Who We Are, The Time, Black Eyed Peas, What's My Name, Rihanna and Drake, Grenade, Bruno Mars. So where's your Glee, man? Did Glee get its ass handed to it? I guess so. Grenade, Bruno Mars, Only Girl in the World, Rihanna, Just the Way You Are, Bruno Mars. Oh, no, wait a minute. Bruno Mars, isn't that Glee? Little Monsters? Oh, I'm way off the beaten path here with this stuff. So, let's forget about Glee, okay? All I do is get confused with that rotten show. No, it's a very good show. It's a great show. Here is the Katy Perry single. That's enough of that. Now, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Kanye West, Pink, Burlesque, Glee, number 4 on the album chart, Glee's The Music, the Christmas album, the Glee cast. So they're 4 on the Christmas chart, rather on the album chart, but Kanye West beat them. But... Phil. Derek Anderson's post-game tirade. Derek Anderson got pissed off after Arizona loses another one. How bad are the Arizona Cardinals? How bad do they continue to be? Even after appearing in a Super Bowl, pretty bad. And that Wisconsin student gunman in the standoff has died. I don't know how much of that you want to hear about. Probably not that much. And gays won't hurt the military, a new poll says. And guess who they were polling? Well, they were polling the troops. Asking the troops, is it going to butcher up your morale if you're, you know, fighting with a gay guy? And these cats are, whatever, man. I think we got bigger fish to fry. I don't know, you know. LaGuardia also ranks as the worst airport in the country. Portland International is the best. We've got a Zagat survey for you as to the best and the worst airports in America. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Just a very quick showbiz note here. CBS News has abruptly gave the early show a complete makeover, an attempt to freshen the show, replacing co-hosts Harry Smith and Maggie Rodriguez with its current Saturday anchor team of Chris, whatever the hell his name is, and Erica something. The network, well, I don't know what it says.
Yeah, but Chris Ragged.
Yeah, Chris Ragged, Waggy.
Chris Waggy? Chris Waggy and Erica Hill. I can say Hill. The network is also replacing weather forecaster Dave Price with Marisol Castro because she's Hispanic, and it'll help them with, no, I'm sure that isn't it. She was formerly with ABC's Good Morning America, their weekend edition, as you well know, and they're adding the new team will start on January the 3rd. Now, there'd been little inkling that alterations were afoot, although the CBS show, the early show, has never really knocked it out of the park. Good Morning America constantly kicks its ass. The NBC Today show, of course, has made a big comeback. But the early show has consistently ranked behind those shows. The morning champ now, of course, is NBC's Today show. And then comes ABC's Good Morning America, wiping up the rear. The week before, actually, the early show does. The week before Thanksgiving was typical. Today's show averaged 5.6 million viewers each day. Good Morning America had 4.6 million, and the early show had 2.9 million. You know, that's been the way it has been at CBS for the longest time, and is it the curse of Captain Kangaroo? Is that it?
Well, you know, they had Kangaroo for a long time, Kangaroo.
Yeah, when did Kangaroo stop?
Kangaroo stopped? What do you mean Kangaroo? Captain Kangaroo stopped in the 80s. In the 80s, yeah. Captain Kangaroo. But I think it's the curse of Ken. Why do I call it the curse of Captain Kangaroo? Because while everybody was doing their morning news thing with the Today Show and Good Morning America, CBS continued to show Captain Kangaroo between 8 and 9. So it started at 8 and it ended at 9. And before that, most of the CBS O&Os and the CBS affiliates did local morning shows. I remember on Channel 2 in Los Angeles between 7 and 8, when is Kangaroo on, man?
He ain't on no more.
Well, all right, okay, but when was Kangaroo on? I forget. But anyway, between 7 and 8, they'd have a CBS local show, then Kangaroo. Well, Kangaroo continued, and then why am I calling him Kangaroo?
Well, that's just a shortcut.
Very disrespectful. Then the captain went off the air. Because CBS decided, you know, we got to get with it. They won a lot of Emmys, and they were very, very respected for having Captain Kangaroo, but it didn't help them in terms of, you know, making inroads into that ever-increasingly lucrative morning show market. And so they decided finally to, you know, to axe the Captain Kangaroo show, but ever since then, they've stunk it out, man. I mean, they couldn't get a morning show over there for love or money. I mean, they just... Every year, there's CBS Nooning. Here's one of the reasons. They still have the same guy as their news president, Sean McManus. But,
You better watch out, man.
I'm not going to watch out anything. It's the same guy. Sean McManus said he won't be expecting any immediate ratings changes because he's still the news president. Anyway, he said he won't be expecting any immediate ratings changes in a time where the Today Show hasn't lost a single week in nearly 15 years. How could I possibly compete with that, said Sean McManus as he put his hat on and decided to just jump out of a third-floor window. But he said he believed the new team will help the show grow. This group, I think, will work very well together, McManus said, and they'll agree with everything that I say. We just felt the timing was right to start planning for the future, he said, with a big grin on his face. Smith had the longest tenure on the early show. He was the sole survivor from 2002 when CBS installed a four-anchor team that included Smith, Hannah Storm, Julie Chen, and Renee Seiler. Where are they now? Well, Hannah Storm is at NBC. I think Chen is still around, isn't she?
I don't know. Probably not. Didn't she marry Maury Povich?
That was Connie Chung.
Well, no. Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
Julie Chen ain't the same person. Connie Chung, Julie Chen.
Well.
Yeah, trust me. Chen still contributes occasional reports to the show, but other than that, she couldn't care less. Smith also hosted a previous CBS morning show from 87 to 96. CBS says he'll stay at the network as a news reporter and primary substitute at the CBS Evening News, Face the Nation, Sunday morning, but boom. alerted the changes were coming. Smith bought a gun, and no, he said he took a long walk on a cold golf course. God, he must have been emotional, huh?
Sounded like he might have taken it hard.
Alerted that the changes were coming, Smith said he took a long walk on a cold golf course, then decided to just wander into the surf and not come out. No, he said he took a long walk on a cold golf course Sunday and reflected on doing the CBS Morning Show for 17 of the last 25 years. To be honest, I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunities I've had, he said, as he just sobbed, heaving his shoulders into the arms of the reporter. I've given them everything I can possibly give, said Smith. What else do they want from me? As he dropped to his knees and wept. I wish the people who follow nothing but the best, although you know I really don't. God love them. I hope they can move the ratings, because we couldn't. What a failure I am. And then we heard a pistol shot.
What are you doing, man? I'm
kidding around. Sorry. Waggy, or whatever the hell you guys call him.
His name right there, Reggie.
Reggie? Is that his name, Reggie?
No, man. His last name, W-R-A-G-G-E. Raga.
Raga worked in sports, including a stint as a sideline reporter at events for NBC until he made the jump to news in 2006. Beside his weekend job at Subway, he's been anchoring... I'm kidding. Besides his weekend job at CBS, he'd been anchoring...
You better get serious.
I'm sorry. Besides his weekend job at CBS, he'd been anchoring local news broadcasts at the network's New York affiliate, the job he'll give up to go national. Hill, who came to CBS from CNN, briefly filled in for Rodriguez last year when Rodriguez was on maternity leave. Now she's going to fill in permanent, and she can tell Rodriguez, well, we tried the Mexican, you know, it's just... Anyway, she's the only holdover from the current Daily Show. She's probably going to... Are you pregnant? No. Well, I got to take over anyway. She's the only holdover from the current daily program, although in a different role. Currently, she reads the newscasts. Now, she'll be bringing people coffee. Waggy, or whatever the hell he's... And Hill's growth as a team has been evident on Saturday mornings at... Really? Evident to who, man? And they've proven adept at shifting between hard news and lighter fare, McManus said. Oh, that's why. Because McManus said...
They're uniquely suited to each other and to the morning show genre,
said Sean McManus. Now then, Friedman, this story goes on forever, man.
Well, you might as well finish it, man, because you stopped on all the stories you got to do about.
Well, we do. I want to get into the nutmeg can make you high. And Derek Anderson flipping out on the press after the ball game after Arizona sucked it up again, 27-6. Who'd they get their ass kicked by this time? It doesn't matter. Anyway, Friedman said it's an advantage for CBS that its regular viewers know each other. Who's Friedman? Anyway, you got the basic story. So.
Well, I don't make any difference to me, man.
See, nobody knows who them is until you said.
Nobody knows who them is until I said.
Yeah, because that's only a show you'd watch.
I haven't seen the CBS. The reason why I read the story is because I had seen that Harry Smith is one of those names that you just see. And he's a good guy. He's a good reporter. And so suddenly Harry Smith is out at CBS, or you know. So I wanted to read it, but I'm telling you of what I said there. And these things happen, and we all know that they happen, and that's fine, you know. And I wish CBS. I'm not going to tell them their business, but there is one consistent. You know, there is one constant in all of this that nobody's talking about replacing. And I said it to you, Sean McManus, CBS News president. So, you know what, Sean? Good for you. You held on to your job. Not for long, though. You know that you're just one more Harry Smith away from being out the door yourself. So you better hope that this crew hits it out of the park for you, babe. If you don't mind me calling you babe.
Your wife doesn't mind.
That's really not funny, man. But anyway, Georgia Poison Center, kids using nutmeg to get high. Are you ready for that? Dr. Gaylord Lopez of the Georgia Poison Center tells CBS Atlanta TV the side effects of getting high off of nutmeg.
Heart racing and palpitations.
Sounds good.
To massive migraine-type headaches. Because these things can
Fantastic.
Cause lots of problems quickly, and in some cases may even be life-threatening. They do come on pretty quickly. This is, again, a finely ground powder, and may come on in as little as 15 to 20 minutes and last for a good 2-3 hours, depending on the dose.
What are we talking about here? Nutmeg is a commonly used spice in cooking, but Lopez says if kids consume one tablespoon or more in a short amount of time, they can have serious health risks, even death. The spice can be snorted or smoked. Multiple YouTube videos show 20-somethings downing the spice straight from the bottle. A tablespoon or more could be a problem. If you take that amount and it happens to someone in a lower weight, you could be talking about symptoms that are life-threatening. I have to say this because, well, I want to say it. They're obviously emphasizing the injurious effects of nutmeg, but the fact is, apparently, it is a mood-altering experience. See, they're talking about side effects like vomiting, convulsions, palpitations, dizziness, dehydration, dry mouth, but nutmeg gets you high. Now, is this new? No, it isn't. 40 years ago, when I was in high school, they were talking about nutmeg, only it wasn't the parents warning us. I think it was somebody on an album singing about it backwards, but nonetheless, now here is a YouTube video. They've got dozens of videos showing teens and 20-somethings getting high off of nutmeg. In this video, we see the after effects of a user named Theo who drinks a bottle of nutmeg mixed with water and then apparently hallucinates.
Theo, how are you feeling? Why are your hands on your head? Do you feel gravity pushing down on you? What do you see?
I'm in the sand.
Sand? Where do you see sand?
The walls.
The wall?
And then he said,
what Deuce and I talk about is nobody else's business.
But why was something funny when you're down 18 points in the fourth quarter?
It wasn't funny. I wasn't laughing about anything.
That was Derek Anderson after the Arizona Cardinals got their asses handed to them, 27-6 in Glendale, Arizona. He raised his voice, his eyes bulged wide, looking directly at a reporter in the crowd. The Arizona Cardinal let loose, taking exception to repeated questions by reporter Kent Summers about why he was laughing on the sideline late in the blowout loss to San Francisco. Anderson went on a profanity-laced tirade during a post-game news conference. Here it is. Oh, sorry.
What Deuce and I talk about is nobody else's business.
But why was something funny when you're down 18 points in the fourth quarter?
It wasn't funny. I wasn't laughing about anything.
The camera showed you laughing.
Okay, that's fine.
Commented about it.
That's fine. I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this. Every single week.
All I'm saying is the camera shows
you. I'm just telling you right now what I do every single week. Every single week. I put my freaking heart and soul into this. I study my ass off. I don't go out there and laugh. It's not funny. Nothing's funny to me. I don't want to go out there and get embarrassed on Monday Night Football in front of everybody.
That's why I'm asking you what
I'm telling you right now. We're talking. Deuce and I are talking.
What was the context in which?
Who cares, you dumb reporter? He's talking to his teammate. I don't know. I don't blame the guy for getting pissed off. So he was laughing at something that his teammates said. That's got nothing to do with his attitude toward the game. Give it up, Kent Summers, jackball. Anderson's taken plenty of blame for Arizona's six-game losing streak, and you really shouldn't, Anderson. You're just one more in a long line of quarterbacks they've had on that rotten team. All right, coming up, we've got the best and the worst airports in the country on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, philhendryshow.com.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show, Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman here. We got LaGuardia and Portland International Airport. These two airports, they're well-known American airports. Well, they're opposite ends of the scale, according to Zagat.
Well, it's supposed to be Zagat.
I know it's supposed to be Zagat. I never heard Zagat. I heard Zagat. That's what I'm going to call it until somebody with some authority from the Zagat organization corrects me.
I got Zagat on the phone. I thought it was funny.
New York may be the greatest city on earth, but its airports are simply abysmal. A new survey released yesterday shows Portland, on the other hand, ooh! Did it ever occur to you that Portland handles about 1/15th the traffic? Anyway, Zagat's annual air travel survey found that 30 U.S. airports, LaGuardia Airport came in dead last. Now, of course, the question is, how many people fly in and out of LaGuardia? Yes, I understand that there's a lot of people, but not as many as Kennedy. I personally prefer LaGuardia because it's right there, man. There's the city. Bang, I'm in there. I don't have to screw around and wait around and go on. You know, just there, LaGuardia, city's there. I go. I'm in there. Thank you. The best thing probably to do is to knock it down and start all over again, said CEO Tim Zagat. Oh, really? It's not easy to get around, and it's outdated. JFK fared a little better, coming into 26th with a score of 9.57. Newark was tops in the area, 24th place with 11.72. Portland International Airport fared the best. It scored a 22. Last year, it was ranked number one as well. Who's paying off the Zagat survey in Portland? A consortium of businesses that want to consistently have their airport come in first, and so they pay Tim Zagat personally thousands of dollars a day. I'm joking.
Yeah, but people are going to think that's real now, man, because you only said I'm joking one time.
Well, what do you want me to do, say I'm joking on the hour every hour?
Yeah, but the people, see, we got to field the phone calls.
What phone calls are you going to field, man?
What if Tim Zagat calls?
If Tim Zagat calls, put him through. Put him through, man. I don't know how these things work. I don't know how these things work. You're trying to tell me, well, who is this guy anyway? You're telling me every day I got some news story here about a poll. I got a survey. I got a poll. Here's another survey. Here's another magazine, okay? You guys give me this stuff, and you want me to read it as if it's real.
Well, what makes you think it's not real?
Well, how do I know they're not paying this guy off? This isn't, you know, this isn't some government report. We're not talking about a congressional inquiry here. We're not talking about something that costs the taxpayers money. You know, so people think, well, what a deal. Zagat, or Zagat, came out with a survey to tell me the best airports in the country, and I'm sure, I'm just absolutely sure, it's objective and it's fair, and the methodology they use is sound. I mean, after all, you get what you pay for. Oh, you mean it's free? Yeah.
Yeah, but you're saying that Tim Zagat, or whatever his name is getting a payoff.
I like Zagat, by the way. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, how do I know? How do I know that Portland International Airport, as represented by the Portland, whatever the hell it is, the airport authority, or the people in Portland, or whoever, isn't paying Tim Zagat all kinds of money to make their airport come in number one? I'm not trying to say that they're doing that. But I will tell you this, if they were doing it, I wouldn't fault them. Well, I want my airport to come in first, too.
What are you saying, man? LaGuardia said they ain't going to pay?
Maybe that's it. Maybe Zagat sent his goons to LaGuardia, and they said, no, we ain't paying. So they're coming in last.
I don't think it's funny.
Oh, will you give me a break? Nobody's, like I said, man, this is not a public trust thing. Conducted on Zagat.com, the survey is based on, oh yeah, I'll bet it's based on, over 8,000 frequent flyers who collectively took 139,000 flights in the past year. Zagat has reviewed the airline industry since 1990. You ain't doing a very good job, man, because things ain't getting better, and nobody's getting the message either. Also at the top of the list for best airports, Tampa International, Salt Lake City, Detroit, and Denver International. I've only been in one of those. Wait a minute. I've been in Denver, I've been in Salt Lake, I've been in Tampa, I've been in Detroit. Not for a long time I haven't been in Detroit. As for the other worst airports in the country, JFK, Philadelphia International, LA International, Miami. Miami sucks, there's no question. Ask the people in Miami. LAX stinks. The problem with LAX is there's so many planes coming in and out of that joint. They don't have time to do anything to upgrade that airport. They're going to have to build a new airport. It's all there is to it. They got to build a brand spanking new airport. And they're going to have to put it up there in Lancaster, or wherever the hell they said they were going to do it originally. And they're going to have to put a Metro Line link up there. And they're going to have to, you know, somehow, some way, L.A., let's get into the 21st century, because time's a-wasting, baby. You know, we're still fooling around with Metro Line.
They're going to have a subway in the valley someday.
Ooh, really? Well, how about that, folks? We're going to have the light rail into the valley someday. You talk about a town that's so many years behind the times. Los Angeles is a joke. And now that airport, just, I don't know who is going to be running the show here in the next few years, but let's get somebody can kick this thing in the ass. New airport, let's get that metro line and those light rail lines out to where they ought to be, and then I'll move. All right, the Phil Hendry Show has been produced by Jason Rantz, Charles Weigand, our technical director, Dan Northcraft, our associate producer, and I just, you know, thank God for those guys, because I butchered this thing.
What about us?
Yeah, you're okay, too. See you tomorrow. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all your Phil Hendry Show needs.
Phil Hendry.